Good morning, church. First, you all sound amazing. And it is just so beautiful to be able to gather with the people of God, to sing to God and to one another as we declare the truths of God's word. So it's beautiful. My name is Jesse Holmes. I'm the discipleship pastor here at Crawford Avenue. And this morning, we're going to be camping out in John chapter 15. So if you will turn with me to John chapter 15, if you're using one of the black Bibles in front of you, that's found on page 901. So we'll be looking at John chapter 15, specifically verses 1 through 8. Hear God's word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are so good and gracious to us. Evidence of that goodness and grace is the fact that we're able to gather here together as a family and worship you. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will teach us from your word this morning, that you will give us great understanding, not so that our knowledge increases, but our love and our affection for you and your people will increase. So speak to us this morning that you might be glorified in the fruit that we bear for your namesake. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So one fact about me that you might not know is that I love plants. They're like some of the coolest things ever. Can you imagine being hungry and you just sit in the sun and all of a sudden you're full? Like, plants do that through the process of photosynthesis. They are out there in the sun, and they're just constantly taking in the sun rays, and I could probably explain to you the formula, all the things that take place, but they get the nourishment that they need. Not only that, some plants eat stuff, like flies. They eat things, like they snap and eat it. It's just crazy. And plants are really cool also in that they teach us a lot of lessons about life. We learn about patience when you're trying to deal with a plant. I am not a gardener. I fail oftentimes in raising plants. But when I do right, you know, and I learn that I water this plant and it's not going to just shoot up right then, but it's going to take some time. Also, you learn moderation. I don't need to pour a bucket of water on a little plant, but I need to give it just enough for it to survive. You learn all of these life lessons from plants, so it's no wonder that Jesus often used farming illustrations and plant illustrations in order to teach the lessons for his disciples to understand. In John chapters 13 through 17, if you're familiar with this text, it is one of my favorite passages, sections in Scripture. This is Jesus' last conversations with his disciples before he makes his way to the cross. And if you can imagine, as Jesus is preparing to make his way to the cross, knowing that he will depart from this world, the things that he says in John chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 are of utmost importance. He is communicating his final instructions and his teachings to his boys before he goes away, and also to us today as disciples. And so what we understand here as we read through this text is that Jesus, as the master teacher, is teaching very simply, but also with great depth, so that when he leaves and ascends and he's no longer physically present with his disciples, that they're able to continue to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. We understand through the text that we've been reading in Galatians and studying in Romans that it's the gospel that brings someone that is spiritually dead to spiritual life. The question that we're then left with is, what is essential for us to continue to grow spiritually and mature in our faith? What is essential for that continued growth and maturity? Because like a plant, our role is not just to be sitting here, but we have to grow. And if we do not grow and mature, it's an indication of actual death. If plants do not continue to grow, they actually die. And so there's many answers, possible answers to this question of what is required or what is necessary for spiritual growth, continual spiritual growth and maturity. We'll say, well, reading the Bible, going to church, praying, studying Scripture, memorizing Scripture, looking at Greek and Hebrew, all these things would be essential for the continual growth and maturity of a believer. But what I hope that we will realize this morning as we read through these eight verses is that all of those spiritual disciplines are actually a means to an end and not an end in itself. All of the things, all the spiritual disciplines that we commit to, reading the Bible, praying, studying Scripture, gathering as a body of believer, all of those things are a means to an end. And Jesus gives us the answer to what that end is. And in our text this morning, Jesus says to abide in me. And so the reality is, for the life of a believer, if you are intending to grow spiritually, if you're intending to mature, if you're intending to be effective in ministry, yes, commit to spiritual disciplines so that it might lead you to abide in Christ. And so this morning, as we walk through the text, we're just going to answer the question, why? Why? Why do we need to abide in Christ specifically? Why is that the key? Why is that essential to the spiritual growth and maturity of a believer? Now, before we get to that, let me explain what abide means. It's kind of like an old word. Abide, dwell in, remain in, or make your home in. That is what this word abide means. It's just fully packed with a lot of things. But really, it's like this picture. So let's just say that I need a place to live. And so I just come to your house and I knock on the door and I ask, hey, can I abide in your home? I'm not asking if I can just chill here for a few hours and then leave. I'm not asking if I can borrow your couch for a day and then I'm out. But when I knock on your door and I ask to abide in your home, I have all my stuff with me. And I'm going to find a room and a nice comfy bed, hopefully it's queen-size bed, and the AC is right there because I can't sleep in the heat. And then I'm going to be using your fridge. Don't worry, I'll buy some groceries and put it in the fridge. And I'm going to use your appliances because I need to cook in order to eat. I'm going to chill on your couch. I'm going to read some books. I might borrow some books from your library. But when I have the intent to abide in your home, I am saying that out of all the places that I can live and make my stay in, I have chosen this place to be the place where I set up my tent. And I'm not going anyplace else. And evidence of that are the missing Doritos from your cabinet and your used up pots and pans and a bed that is slept in. And so as Jesus is saying to abide in him, he is not saying, come visit me every now and then. He's not saying, just come hang out with me every Sunday or every Wednesday or at community group. But he is saying that what I expect for you as a disciple is that you have now chosen for your home to be in me. And so we walk through our text. Why do we abide in Christ? Why Christ? Why do we abide in him? And the first answer is found in verse 1. It is because Jesus is the true vine. Verse 1 again says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, what does this mean that Jesus is the true vine? Now, it seems very simple, but this one statement packs a heavy punch. First of all, what we see is that it's alluding to an Old Testament depiction of the children of Israel. When the vine or vineyard is mentioned, it points back to the children of Israel who were considered to be the vine or the vineyard of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7 is an example of this. This is what the author says. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewn out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it not yield? Why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, and it shall not be pruned, and briars and thorns shall be grown up in it. I will also command the clouds that the rain will not rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judea are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, and behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. The children of Israel did not do what they were called to do. And like many of the heroes that we claim of the Old Testament, Jesus is the better of all of those people and all of those things. And so with this example of a vineyard and a vine, Jesus comes on the scene, and as the Jews are hearing the vine, it makes them think about the children of Israel. But what Jesus says is that I am the true vine. And where Israel failed, I have and will succeed. Where they did not do right and did not obey, I will do right and I will obey. And so Jesus, in this very simple statement, he is first declaring, comparing himself to the children of Israel, and he is saying that he is the true Israel. He is better and greater than them. But not only that, if you know anything about plants, the branches depend upon the vine. And so as Jesus is declaring that he is the true vine, he is also declaring for all the branches that are to be attached, he is the source of life. And he gives the branches purpose. If you know anything about branches, they attach to the vine or to the trunk. And as they attach, that's where they get their life from. I have yet to see a branch that is alive by just sitting on the ground. But the branch has to be attached to a source that gives it life, that gives it what it needs. And in the same way as Jesus declares that he is the true vine, he is declaring that he is the source of life. But not only that, it's a source of purpose. That as we are connected to the vine, the things that come out are dictated by the vine that we are connected to. The fruit that comes off is dictated by the vine that we are connected to. And so Jesus says that I am the true vine, that he is the better Israel, and that he is the source of life and purpose. So why abide in Christ? Well, he is the true vine. Not only that, number two, why do we abide in Christ? Because the Father, his Father, is the vine dresser. Look back at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Another word for vine dresser would be gardener. I don't know a whole lot about doing this kind of stuff. I don't do this. Sometimes I raise plants, but it's just by watering them. But the idea of a gardener or a vine dresser is this idea of someone that is taking care of the plants that he planted. The gardener comes in and establishes the garden, and he maintains it. And so for Jesus to declare that his Father is the vine dresser, he is declaring the sovereignty of the Lord who governs all of it. Not only that, Jesus is saying that I'm not just declaring that I'm the true vine, but the Father who is the vine dresser has made it such that I am the true vine. So he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He is the one who plants and waters and cares for and sacrifices and declares that this is the true vine. And so, this true vine is all that we need. He is the one that has been established by the Father. And so we lift up Jesus and we celebrate the true vine, not because it's just something that we want to, but the Father has provided him as the way. And as always, when we as believers, when we declare that Jesus is the only way, it is not because this is what we think or this is how we feel, but this is what the Father, the sovereign Lord over all things, has established himself. And we see that even here in verse 1. So why? Why do we abide in him, in Christ Jesus? Because he is the true vine, and his Father, who is sovereign over all, is the vine dresser. The reality is, when we think about our lives as believers, it always goes back to who the Lord is. Why do we do what we do? Why do we say what we say? Why do we go where we go? Why do we believe what we believe? It always goes back to who the Lord is. And so even here in this text, as Jesus is establishing this point, he has to begin with, let me tell you who I am. Let me help you understand what this relationship looks like. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is not just trying to start a revolution or start a following, but all of these things were orchestrated by the Lord our God. So if at any time you are wondering why you do the things that you do as a believer, may your reasoning not be grounded in my mom told me so, my grandparents set this up, this is the religion that I believe in, but may our motivation and our reasoning for the way that we live our lives be grounded in the character and identity of the Lord our God, which is established in his word. And so we read and we study to understand who the Lord is, that we might trust in who he is, and out of that, we understand how we are to live our lives. Next, we trust and we abide in Christ because he is the true vine and his Father is the vine dresser. Next, we do this because we are the branches. We are the branches. We abide in him, we abide in Christ, in the true vine, because we are the branches. Jesus says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. We are the branches. Now, automatically, as we see this in this text, we will understand this very powerful truth, that as a branch, we are dependent upon the vine. As a branch, we are dependent upon the vine for life and for purpose, for direction, for understanding how to live. Our dependence is upon Christ Jesus himself. And what this constantly does is it puts us in this position of humility, that I can't do this by myself, that my salvation and that my obedience in Jesus' commands is not relying on how good I am or how consistent I can be, but it is solely relied on how connected I am to him. Because as we see, that as we abide in Christ, he is the one that produces the fruit in us. And so we declare as branches that we are unable to live and survive in this world apart from him. As I said before, branches can't bear fruit by itself by just sitting on the ground. Branches that are on the ground, apart from a tree, are dead. And so as Jesus declares that we are branches, he is helping us to understand right away that we need someone greater than ourselves in order to be sustained, in order for us to live, in order for us to be productive. Now, in our text, for the rest of our text, what we're going to do is not walk straight through it, but we're going to look at two categories of branches. So first, we have the false branches. Jesus will talk about those branches that are false. And then Jesus will talk about those branches that are true. So first of all, he talks about the false branches. First, he says this, that false branches do not bear fruit. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So Jesus in verse 2 is establishing a truth about false branches. False branches do not bear fruit. Now, what are these fruit? There's lots of different explanations or understanding of what the fruit are. They resemble the character of God. The true fruit look like Jesus in character, in attitude, and in action. And so what Jesus says right here, false branches do not look like him. They might say all day, hey, I'm connected to the vine. But they're angry all the time. They're jealous and envious. But greater than all those things, they find their delight in themselves. They're only concerned about where they're going and who they are. They're self-centered and prideful and arrogant. Jesus, as he is talking about the false branches, he begins by saying that they do not bear fruit. They do not look like him. False branches do not bear fruit. Second of all, Jesus says that the false branches do not abide. So they do not make their home in him. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. So as Jesus is describing the reality of the false branches or the false disciples, he says that first of all, they are not bearing fruit, but second of all, they're not bearing fruit because they do not abide. So they are actively rejecting the vine. They are actively saying, I'm not going in Jesus' house. I'm not spending time in Jesus' home. I'm not bringing my luggage and saying that this is where I'm going to spend all of my time. They are actively saying, I like you, Jesus, but you're not my Lord. I like talking about you, Jesus, but you're not my Lord. I like singing songs about you, Jesus, but you're not my Lord. And false branches consistently not only say these things, but the way that they walk a path of consistent disobedience. Now, side note, all of us mess up at times. There are times where we disobey the commands of the Lord, and as a response, we repent and we walk in obedience. That's not what Jesus is describing right here. He is describing a people that their only desire is what's best for them right now. And as a result, there's some bad news. Again, with verse 6, what does he say about these branches? If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. The reality is, if you're not connected to the source of life, you're dead. If you're not connected to the source of life, you are dead. And as Jesus paints this picture, he talks about these branches that are withered and that are gathered, that are thrown into the fire and burnt. It is because they are useless, they are cut off, and so they are thrown away into the fire. That's their only use. Because they are not connected to the vine. They might even think that they're alive. They might think that they just are not that great. But the reality is, Jesus says that they are worthless and have no purpose but to fuel the flames of fire. When we do not abide in Christ, when we do not make Christ our home, when we do not make Christ our dwelling place, when we're not consistently dwell and abide and remain in him, we are walking a path of death and destruction. Why? Because Jesus is the true vine. He is the source of life and purpose. And so when we as pastors and teachers are encouraging people and pointing people to Jesus, it's not because we're paid extra for pointing people to Jesus, but it's because Jesus is the only way. He is the life. And so if you don't want to be dead and want to be alive, we point you to him who is life. And so for all of us as believers, quick application point, we want to point people to Jesus. If you have dead coworkers, point them to Jesus. If you have dead family members, point them to Jesus. If you have dead neighbors spiritually, we point them to Jesus, who is the life. And there might be many ways that we do this, but as evangelists, which is all of us in here, we want to make sure that we proclaim Jesus more than anything or anyone else, because Jesus is the one that saves. He is the true vine. If you are here today, and you have not trusted in Jesus, this is not just a pitch that we do each Sunday. This is not just a tagline that we declare at the end of our sermons. But this truth is what we have built our lives upon, that in Christ is life, and apart from him, there is no life. And you think that you're living, but you're actually dead. And you're walking a path to more deadness. So run to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Abide in Christ Jesus, because in him you will find life and you will have purpose. So that's the bad news. That's the false vines, the false branches. But let's talk about some good news. Let's talk about the good branches, the true branches that are actually bearing fruit. Jesus says this about the true branches. He says that they actually bear fruit. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So in this verse 2, we see that Jesus is automatically establishing the two types of branches. You have the branches that are bearing fruit, and then you have the branches that are not bearing fruit. And so we've talked about those that are not bearing fruit. So the good news is that there are branches that bear fruit. And so though they are not perfect, and though they stumble at times, man, they find their life and their hope in Christ Jesus, who is the true vine. And out of that abiding comes Christ-like character. Love and compassion and care and self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit that's articulated in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And then as we bear this fruit, the fruit is not just for ourselves. Like, I don't think that apple trees eat their own apples. That would be really creepy if they did that. But there's a greater purpose to the fruit that the trees are bearing, and this fruit is attractive. So as we are bearing fruit, they're not just praising the tree, they're praising the one that planted the tree. And as they taste good fruit, they're like, thanks, tree. But man, the one who created this tree is amazing. And so us as believers, our lives are a testimony of God's love and his grace by how we bear fruit. The Christ-like character and actions and attitudes and all of those things are evangelistic in nature. And so evangelism 101 classes are good and helpful. But as we abide in Christ, our life is a testimony. Our life is an illustration. Our life declares the glory of God. And so we want to abide. Side note, please keep in mind that the bearing fruit is not happening by our own efforts, but it's something that naturally takes place by being connected to the vine. And there are some believers that think, and they get overwhelmed and thinking, oh, I have all these things that I have to do. I got to make sure I'm not angry all the time. I have to make sure I'm kind all the time. I got to make sure I'm humble all the time. But the key is that we abide, and these things will take place. So the true branches, they first of all bear fruit. Not only that, the true branches are pruned. Jesus says this, again, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, once again, I am not a gardener, but my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if you have plants, you cut off some of the shoots and it makes the plant more healthy, right? I think, am I right? Yes. Our local gardener, she's nodding at me. I'm correct. So this is it seems like a painful thing, but it is a helpful thing. And what Jesus says right here, continue on in verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The word prune and clean go together, and it means the same thing, that in the process of pruning, you're cleaning up, you're getting rid of shoots that are hindering the growth of the plant. And so for us as little plants, how are we pruned? How do we get cleaned up? How are these things, these characteristics and these attitudes, how are those things cut off? Us spending time in the Word. Jesus tells his disciples, hey guys, you're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. This process of cleaning and pruning, it has already been taking place because of the words that I'm speaking to you. For us today, his word is right here. And though pruning can be hurtful, it hurts sometimes, the things that Jesus points out in our lives. But it leads to greater depth in understanding of who he is and us growing in maturity and likeness of Christ Jesus. So that means that when we say spend time in the Word, and as we encourage people to spend time in the Word, again, we don't get bonuses for how many times we say this, but we point you to the Word of truth because it's God's Word that's going to change and transform you. This is not behavior modification. If we were in the business of behavior modification, then we have a list of rules around the church all the time. We'll have a long ruler so we can pop your hand when you don't follow those rules. We'll have checkups where we make you stand, and how many times have you broken these rules? But it's not behavior modification. It's allowing Christ who dwells in us to slowly and consistently chip away these things that need to be cut out. And for some reason, he cuts off some of those shoots, and that same shoot grows back up because we have not learned. And he cuts it off again. And as he prunes and prunes and prunes, it helps us to produce more fruits of righteousness. It helps us to respond in those quick second moments like Christ and not like our flesh. So how do we do that? Maybe you are here today and you got into an argument. Because instead of being slow to speak, instead of thinking and filtering what you had to say, you just said whatever you wanted to say. Spend time in his word and allow Christ Jesus to clean you up. Or maybe there's some habitual sin that you keep running to every time you're lonely or afraid or stressed or frustrated. We could set up rules to keep you from doing that, but look to the word and allow God's word to change your heart and to help you to desire him more than these false temporary pleasures of this life. And so as we abide in Christ and abide in his word, he is doing the cleaning up on the inside. And so the reality is, the more we find, the more we grow and mature, we find more and more sin that resides in us. And you know what we do as a result? We run to the word more and more and more. The more disgusting habits that keep coming up, the more I need to run to the Lord. The more arrogant and prideful words that come out of my mouth, the more I need to run to the word. The more I find pleasure and delight in the things of this world, the more and more I run to the word. And the more and more I run to the word, it is the Lord who uses the word that is very powerful to change us on the inside out. So true branches, they bear fruit, and the vine dresser, he is the one that prunes us through the power of his word. Thirdly, we see this very true throughout this. True branches abide in Christ. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So true branches, they have brought all their bags. They knocked on Jesus' door and they said, I'm moving in. I'm moving in. This is where I'm going to be. There are so many other homes that I could live in. The house of power, the house of money, the house of relationships, the life of the house of this culture. But Jesus, I want to make my home in you. And here's the other reality. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. You go to someone's house and you spend enough time there, and when you leave, you smell like the fragrance of their house. Hopefully it's good and not bad. You get into the car and you're like, man, I still smell like pumpkin spice. Oh, that's so great and delightful. Oh, I smell like Christmas trees. Oh, this is so great. And in that same way, as we consistently abide in Christ's house, we start walking around and start smelling like him. We start smelling like him. And then people who are around us are smelling us like, whoa, what is that? Oh, that's just Jesus. I spent some good time in the Word this morning. I just smell like Jesus today. And even in that, even in our consistency of abiding in him, it is a declaration of who he is. And so true branches abide. There are some great promises. Now, we talked about the consequences or the warnings of the false branches. They are worthless. They are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. But there's some great news about the true branches. He says this, that you will bear much fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So not only when we abide in Christ do we bear fruit, but we bear much fruit. And the big point that I want to make right here is we bear this fruit not because we are trying to make it happen, but because it naturally happens because we are abiding in the vine. I don't know about you, I've never heard of a tree like sweating to make fruit come out, or like hear it grunting or straining as I walk by. But as it's doing its thing, naturally the fruit comes out because of all the circumstances that have been orchestrated. And so for us as believers, we don't have a works-based faith, but our faith produces good works. As we are abiding in Christ, he is producing the fruit that comes out of us. So maybe today you are thinking, man, there's some characteristics that I'm not seeing. Abide in Christ. Abide in his word. And maybe you're thinking, oh, there's these sins that I constantly run to. Instead of trying to make it not happen, abide in his word and delight in him. And what he will do is make that sin look disgusting and cause you to run away. We're not making these things happen. We're trusting in him. Not only that, he says, you will be fully supplied. So as true branches, we bear much fruit and we are fully supplied. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not going to begin declaring that you ask the Lord for a plane and he will give you a plane because you are abiding in him. Maybe there is a Tesla in mind and you're like, let me keep abiding so I can ask the Lord for a Tesla and he will give it to me. I just need some millions of dollars. Let me keep abiding and he will give me millions of dollars. But what Jesus is declaring right here is that a byproduct of us abiding in Christ, our desires and our affections match up with his. We're about his mission and producing fruit for his glory. And so as we ask of things, Father, will you please open my eyes that I might identify a young man or a young lady that I might disciple? Yes, I'm going to do that. Yeah. Look over there. Look right there. He's going to answer that prayer. Oh, Father, will you be gracious to me and help me to be consistent in reading your word? Yes, I'm going to answer that prayer. Just wake up earlier. Just set a few more alarms. Have the coffee already brewing. Then you can do these things. So Jesus is declaring that one of the promises of being a true vine is that the Father is going to provide you everything that you need. You'll be fully supplied in order to bring him honor and glory. And that also means we have no excuse. So we can't sit around here and say, I can't make disciples. There's nobody to disciple. Have you prayed? Did you ask him to open up your eyes? Oh, I can't get up early and spend time in the Word. Have you prayed and asked the Lord for help? Oh, no, I can't go to church every Sunday. That's just really difficult. Have you asked the Lord for extra grace, maybe extra help to get you to church on Sunday? It's so easy for us to make up excuses to not do the things that the Lord has called us to do. And Jesus is saying that a result of being a true vine is that the Father is attentive to us. And he's listening to us. And as we ask for the things that will help us to walk in obedience, he is faithful to answer those prayers. But the final promise for those that are true vines is that we will be associated with him. We will bear much fruit. We will be fully supplied. and we will be associated with him. Verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And so prove to be my disciples. And so Jesus is declaring that everyone will know that we are a follower of his, not because we say that we go to Crawford Avenue Baptist Church, not because we're wearing a shirt that says, I love Jesus, not because we have a bumper sticker that declares the glory of God, but as we abide in him, he causes the fruit to come out of us, and that fruit is what indicates who we are abiding in. Because the fruit that comes out is character and attitude and action, which are greater indicators than the words that come out of our mouths. Because do you understand that most people don't like Christians, not because of the teachings, but because of the character and the attitude and the actions of believers? And so instead of the standard of what it means to be a solid believer is how consistent you do this or do that, or how many things you know, how many Bible verses you have memorized, it really should be how much does my character, my lifestyle, my actions, how closely does it align with the character and actions and lifestyles of Christ Jesus? And with that, when we see that things are not lining up, we don't beat ourselves up and cry. We run to the Word. We ask the Father to prune us more and more and more. There are so many things that we could try to prioritize as believers. As we think about growing in maturity and in spiritual consistency, there are so many things that we can have on this list of priorities. Our prayer is that what our desire as believers will be is to simply abide in him. Abide in him. Early in the morning, open up the Word and spend time in prayer. Abide in him. Later in the afternoon, pull out some memory verse cards and abide in him. As you're driving, listen to music that lifts up the name of Jesus. Abide in him. Before you go to bed, maybe read a devotional. Before you close your eyes, abide in him. Make abiding in Christ your chief priority, and as a result, you will bear fruit that glorifies his name. What's our purpose as believers? It's to glorify God. How do we do that? Not by a list of do's and don'ts, but by simply abiding in him. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. And Lord, we're just so grateful that we have copies of the truths that Jesus has declared, that we might read and study them and be cut to the heart by them. Lord, we ask for your help right now. Lord, we ask for your help to abide in you. There are so many distractions in this world. There are so many things that get into the way, good and bad. But Lord, we ask for your help that we might dwell and abide in you each and every day. And Father, if there's anyone in here today that has not entrusted their lives to you, I just pray that through the faithfulness of declaring your word, that you will draw them unto yourself. Will you use every believer in this room to be an arrow that points and declares your goodness and grace? And Father, will you help us as we leave this place? Lord, will you help us to not just put these words of truth in our back pocket, but will you help them go from our ears and our minds to our hearts, that we might continuously be conformed into the image of your Son?